Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Wednesday, December 21st, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org, whyagain.org. If you go to that website and you click on the two words that say start here in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also, from that page, click a link and download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. If you click the link and download it, you can print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again absolutely free. You can also go to your App Store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. If you choose to do that, before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet. It contains an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and it contains a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also, in that app, there is a tool of commitment. In that app, there are links on basically every page. If you have a question, you can send an email right from the app directly to Jeannie. She will either email you back directly and or address those questions on the internet show, and then it'll be there in the archives where you can access it and get answers to your questions or feedback. You can email Jeannie directly at janie@whyagain.org. That's whyagain.org. You can also email me directly, tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. That's tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And we also have a direct call-in number. If you're listening live, you can call us at 563-999-3581. That's 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1 on your phone, intentionally or otherwise, it puts a little icon of a hand by your phone number. And if I see that happen, and it fits in the flow of the show, I will turn on your microphone and announce it by your area code. And we appreciate when anybody does that because it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work.
Excuse.
Here's area code 618. You're in the air.
Oh, shit. Hold on a second.
Did we intend to push the button?
Hey, Dr. Tim, can you hear me?
Yes. Is Gail?
Yeah, this is Gail. I apologize. I didn't mean to get into the queue. I'm driving my stepmom to do errands while my dad's doing dialysis right now, and I think I put the phone down, and I think it accidentally hit the button. So I apologize for that interruption, and thank you for everything that you do, and I'm introducing my stepmom to this. We're listening to the show together right now. So anyway, have a blessed and wondrous day.
All right. I will meet you so you can
listen in.
Got to
figure out how to get off
here. All right. Blessings. Good luck with Dad and his health, and drive safely, and happy holidays. That's something that happens from time to time. People accidentally push the button, and the little hand goes up by their phone number. We appreciate it when people do that because they actually have a question or a comment or an answer or a testimonial, because it makes it far easier for us to live into our intention with this work, which is to be a service. So today's a Wednesday, and I'm trying to highlight for people the fact that next week when I'm off, there will be some fabulous shows being replayed. Every one of the shows will have, if I can manage to get all the technology sorted out, they'll have audio files of shows where I have been working through my own worksheet process on the show, either live or reporting on worksheets I've done between the shows when I would get triggered to upset. And they range in topic from things where I got triggered to upset by something someone said, to triggered to upset because someone ripped me off for a massive amount of money, to getting triggered to upset because somebody came back in my life after 8.5 years and wanted to pretend like nothing happened, to somebody questioning my validity as a therapist after 46 years of experience doing therapy. And so the triggering incidents are all over the map, and yet the process remains the same. Whether I'm upset because of a physical problem, a mental thought that keeps coming back that's unpleasant, or a negative emotion, or an outside event in my life that I think is disruptive, like someone stealing a lot of money from me, or someone, you know, swearing at me or name-calling me, or someone cutting me out of a relationship, it doesn't matter what the issue is. If it's an external situation, inside me is where I create the emotion. And next week's shows, I will also in the next couple days finish uploading those shows to the mindshiftersacademy.org website on a page that says Best of Audio Files. So if you're not able to be there to listen live next week and you don't want to have to go digging through the archives, they'll be available all on that page for download and listening on mindshiftersacademy.org website on the page that says Best of Audio Files. Right now there's only 7 or 8 files there, and they'll end up being 5 or 6 more by the time I'm done. And they'll all be at the top, and they'll be labeled ready for easy access, because it's going to be, at least in my opinion, a very powerful series of shows demonstrating the use of the prime tool in this work, the reality management worksheet, which has been, you know, a life changer for me over the past 18 plus years. As I actively apply that tool in my life anytime I experience a negative emotion. And lo and behold, much to my amazement, I start feeling better even after 1 or 2 worksheets despite the fact that nothing has changed in the outside world. The things that my mind minutes before had been telling me were the things causing my upset actually couldn't have been, because none of them have changed. And yet when I do a worksheet or two or three or four, my emotional energy shifts dramatically. So that's what I wanted to say about next week. As far as today, unless somebody else raises a hand, asks a question, wants to take us, our discussion in a different direction, whether it's about being around family or being at the holidays or anything we've talked about in the past 12 years on this show. One of the things we've been doing this year is reading through The Way of Mastery and reading through slowly with commentary. And there are only 35 lessons or chapters in The Way of Mastery, and we have 2.5 pages left of lesson 33. And after that, there are only, from page 393 to 417, there's not that much left of the book. And again, there's no rush to get through the book because it's just the beginning point. It's the way to introduce myself to an entirely new way of thinking about myself, my role in my life, the way I create my experience of life, to introduce myself to the process of questioning everything, rather than living by belief or living from dogma or living from the past traumas in my life. This work invites us to start living with our eyes wide open, directly observing and questioning everything in our lives, everything we've been taught, where we'd left off in yesterday's reading of lesson 33 was, I was talking about how the more I read this lesson, the more I feel it, I hear it, and I feel it trying to get me to question everything I've ever been taught about my nature and religion and fear and all the negative emotions. So where I left off yesterday was where the text was reading, you then are free to be at peace. You are free to release all judgment. You are indeed free to give yourself the exquisite experience of being the one who allows all things. You are the one who is free to embrace the innocence of each moment. You are the one who is free to require sunglasses against the morning sunrise. You are the one who is free to be free. And to be free is to be authentic. And to be authentic is to demonstrate the reality that only creation itself exists. There is only the flow of life in creation. Though it seems you are receiving information outside yourself, yet I say unto you, you have received information only from your capital S self, from the flow of life itself. Only the mind of creation itself exists. You are creation choosing to remember that you are creation. If you would go back and read the Yeshua letters, not all of those communications were from the perspective of Yeshua ben Joseph. There was also direct communication from the mind of the Creator, given as a clear and obvious sign unto you. Things were said even in that book that revealed the capital T truth that there is only one mind, one creation, one flow of life. If you looked past it and did not see it, it is because you still thought it would be too fearful for you to know the capital T truth that sets you free. If you look past it and did not see it, it's because you needed to perceive that there was an individual who had an experience opening to Yeshua ben Joseph, and you were receiving information through the medium of a channel. Yet I say unto you, you have received information only from yourself, your capital S self, your true nature, the flow of life itself, the one mind. This is why all giving is receiving. This is why loss is not possible and why death does not exist. Creation can only dissolve into creation. And in that realization, the final step beyond even the way of knowing, the final step is to release resistance to the flow of life itself and learn to show up as creation extending itself in individuated form, to have a good time for the purpose of extending love, for the purpose of creating, to simply extend the energy of creation in each moment to everyone and everything you interact with. Therefore, indeed, beloved friends, love will be pouring out of us without ceasing. Our creativity will be without ceasing, for we are that one, showing up as creation for the joy of the dance. There is nothing but this. There is nothing above or below, nothing behind or ahead. You are indeed that one now. And if you rest upon your couch with eyes closed, who is doing the resting? Whose eyes are closed? In this lesson, I have given unto you the very rock bottom, most fundamental core that you can sit with or dance with if you wish. You can take it to bed with you. You can have a cup of coffee with it. You can strive to understand it. You can analyze it, saying things like, quote, well, there must be some message here. This must be a metaphor somehow, close quotes. Or you can simply give up being identified as a separate self, still struggling to know the truth. In the Course in Miracles, I said unto you, quote, holy relationship is when two have looked within and found no lack, and therefore choose to join to create, to make happy, close quotes. If any two have looked within and found no lack, they have seen that there is only the flow of life in creation. Who cares whether this body mind goes there or this one goes over there? It's all the same. Where do you feel like playing? That is all. And when you see your brother or sister say, quote, I am moving from this location to that location, close quote, then the awakened mind says, oh, this is a part of myself wanting to go live in Cleveland now. That's perfectly fine. Close quotes. For the enlightened mind gives perfect freedom to all beings because it sees that the expression of all things is the freedom of its own true self. And the one mind, which is the one mind of creation, the flow of life itself, is showing up as that being who in this moment would rather take the body mind to Cleveland instead of living in Florida. When the lover awakens at 3 a.m. and says, quote, I now need to move to a monastery and live in perfect silence in a solitary cell, and I will never see you again, close quotes. If that happens with a totally enlightened person, the totally enlightened mind receives that and just smiles, for that enlightened mind knows that the lover can never truly leave because separation is unreal. Therefore, the enlightened mind allows all things, trusts all things, embraces all things, and transcends all things. There is only life, there is only the flow of creation, and you are that. You are as I am. The only question left then is, quote, who do you want to play with, close quotes. Do you want to play with people that know the flow of life and creation, or people that know fear? They are all the same. They are all extensions of the creative energy in form. And yet in that play and display of creation, you're free to decide who you will play with, who you will dance with, who you will create with, and what you will create. As any mind awakens to itself as the flow of life, it becomes more and more interested only in being with others who are like-minded. That mind can no longer tolerate an unenlightenment. Why? Simply because it's not much fun. It is not as loving. And creation is but love. Therefore, beloved friends, review well what has been shared with you in this lesson. If you have been noticing, quite a shift has occurred. The, quote, cat is out of the bag, close quotes. If you've been noticing, Yeshua ben Joseph has been but a guise, a disguise, chosen of me to present myself to you because you have required it. Indeed, beloved friends, be at peace always. Let us play together as that one mind extending creation without end, inviting aspects of our true self back to our true self. Only love is real. Only love exists. Only love is worthy of love. And the Creator wants only that which extends the good, the holy, and the beautiful. Therefore, indeed, peace be with you always, for in truth, where could it go? Please know that I am with you always. Amen. That's the end of Lesson 33. 33 lessons that begin in the first lesson with the first, it says here, here's the beginning of awakening, to just let into your mind this axiom of truth. Just let it in and start observing and playing with it. What's that axiom of truth? Nothing that you experience is caused by anything outside of you. You experience only the effects of your own choice. And, of course, the conscious logical mind rears up and says, that's crazy. I did not choose this arthritis. I did not choose this car accident. I did not choose my friend to be sick. I did not choose my child to die. And right there on the same page, it says, okay, by the way of the heart is not the way of the intellect. So, no, you didn't think, I want my child to die or I want to get in a car accident. But the way of the heart was never meant to be ruled by the intellect. That part of your mind, your conscious logical mind, was never designed to be your master. It was designed to be a humble and, if you will pardon the expression, the very stupid servant of the awakened heart. So as you choose, as we choose to judge, this is good, that is bad, this is right, that is wrong, this is wonderful, that's horrible. We create an experience for ourselves through the process of judgment and perception. And every time we judge, that influences our perception. And then the perception decides which pictures to show us in our mind. And as we create a picture of what's going on in the world, it's just our best guess. We're not seeing the outside world. We're seeing our best guess about it. And our researchers are going further and further into the process to describe to us how we basically hallucinate our experience of reality. This is why seven people can watch the same event and come away with seven descriptions of what happened. Because in actuality, no two people see the same thing when they look out and see life in front of them. Because each brain is creating pictures based on what that person has had in the past, what experiences they've had, what knowledge they have, what traumas they have, what kind of mood they're in the moment, and creating a picture of life and showing it to the individual person. This is why when we have our support group, we can have 8 or 10 or 12 people sitting there watching a video, and then when the video's over, an hour later, we gather around the table to discuss, and two or three people are just all upset because the video was so negative. And five or six people are saying, what do you mean? All the guy talked about was love the whole time. Every one of us in each moment is using the stimulation of our five senses to create our impressions of life, including the pictures that we see that we think are of the outside world. In the third lesson, it tells us, forgiveness is the process of dismantling our perceptions to get closer to being able to see the truth of what is. The actual definition they give is, to forgive means to choose to release another from the perceptions you have been projecting upon them. It is therefore an act of forgiving or dismantling one's own projections. As you begin to dismantle your projections, even 70 times, 7 times, each time you forgive, you take yourself deeper into the purity of your own consciousness, and you begin to see how profoundly you've been coloring and therefore affecting all of your relationships. You've been doing it through the simple act of not being aware of the power of projection. The power of projection is a picture shows up in your mind and you forget the first axiom that you're the one creating that picture and you're the one creating the anger or fear or sadness or joy or passion. And as that individual creator of that process, if you forget you're the one that created it, your mind tries to tell you that it was created by the picture that your mind is showing you, that your brain is showing you. So forgiveness has nothing to do with the outside world or another person. Forgiveness means to choose to release another within my own mind. I quit blaming other people for the perceptions I've been creating, and then trying to believe that they're about somebody else. And over again in this work, it talks about learning to see the truth of life, the shimmering radiance of the creative energy expressing in form. Everybody you see is a fellow being of brilliance and light. And they're either acting from that brilliance and light, they're acting lovingly and respectfully and joyfully and compassionately, or they're acting from the space where they have temporarily forgotten or yet to discover their brilliance. And in every interaction with every person, you could take this into every interaction with good effect. We're all part of the same mind. We're all connected by energies that our five senses can't show us. what our scientists tell us about how everything is energy and all energy is connected applies equally well to the body-mind as it does to the desk and the chair and the tree. I move to move on into lesson 34 since nobody has a hand up. Lesson 34 is titled, You Are Here to Extend the Love of God into Creation. And the text reads, Beloved and holy friends. Again, here's a reminder. We are equals. We are friends. There is no above and below. There is no higher than or lower than, no better than or worse than. Beloved and holy friends, I, comma, we come forth bide with you because, again, you have asked. You've tuned in to an internet show like this. You've picked up a book like this. You're playing this archive. You've asked to be introduced to this work. The text goes on and says, you've asked that one that we have called Abba, Father, creation, you've asked that Abba appear through his created form as I, Yeshua ben Joseph, as we, which we will call the lineage, all the other souls, all the other spirits, all the other intellects, all the other intelligences, who serve as the conduits of that wisdom. And that energy that is in truth, creation itself. The creation is what you are. Therefore, you have asked to be guided into the recognition that only creation exists by sending forth a prayer unto me and unto this lineage and unto your creator to appear unto you in a guided way, in a graded way. That is, in slowly emerging way that does not elicit fear or does not increase the elicitation of fear. Yet in truth, your prayer has been to desire the awakening from the dream of the small self into the reality that there has been nothing creation, and you are that. Therefore, indeed, beloved friends, as that one created and birthed from the mind of the Father, even as you are created, and you extend the love of the Creator into the realm of form, even as that happens, I come forth as your brother and your friend, and yet only the flow of life itself, only creation exists. And you are that. I will be with you always, even unto the end of all worlds, that is, unto the end of all illusions. From that moment, creation will extend itself with perfect clarity, with perfect transparency, as the Creator merely extends creation in a joyous, ecstatic act of becoming the forms of creation. Merely to celebrate and praise creation itself. For it's the only purpose of all of this and all created forms of consciousness is to express creation. It is impossible to extend praise of the creation without fully having awareness of your true nature as love. Without embracing and extending love, the particular manifestation of the creation that you are. You cannot fully step into the complete expression of acceptance, allowance, compassion for, praise for the Creator unless you recognize that's who and what you are. Therefore, you've heard me say unto you many times that there is a veil. There is a distortion in perception. There is an inability to perceive things accurately that keeps you from your awareness of being in the kingdom. And what that veil is, what that process of distortion is a set of thoughts or beliefs or perceptions that you are something other than love itself. Acceptance of self as love is an essential prerequisite to return to the kingdom. For acceptance of yourself as love is honoring the creation. You cannot honor the creator while rejecting the creator's creation. You can't accept creation while rejecting it. Indeed, then, beloved friends, please know well that we who would come unto you, we that have been coming unto you since the day and the hour and the moment that this work began, we have always been a we and not just an I. An I that you might think of as Jesus or Yeshua ben Joseph or any of the saints. It's we. There's a collective consciousness and you are a part of it. For there are indeed many of us who are linked together in what we call the lineage that extends far back in your history of time, creating what you might call in your scientific terms a resonance of energy that links the mind of the Creator through the epochs of time, through many individual minds, unto this moment. It is indeed that lineage that brought forth the strand of salvation that culminated in my incarnation as Yeshua ben Joseph. The script was written thousands of years before. The linkages of energy were created generation unto generation unto generation unto generation, culminating in the birth of me as a man who opened to the reality, the actuality of the Creator itself, of the creation itself, as the only reality through which the Creator could extend the perfect energy of love, which is itself, and through that process make it visible to its children, its offspring, all of those who were abiding in the spell under the spell of illusion, the illusion of separation, the illusion of perception as an individual body. The work has never ceased, and indeed let it be known that this work that is done through the Shanti Crystal Foundation is an extension of and a collaboration with the entirety of that lineage. You might call it a strand of light extending from the mind of the Creator itself into the forms of time with only one purpose, to awaken every aspect of the sonship. Guy Finley says, there is an unseen cosmic curriculum. It's the only curriculum there is. It's the only one you can actually take. Your choice, as this work has told us, your choice is only, do you delay taking the curriculum? Do you delay learning the lesson? Or do you move forward with it? But there is only one unseen cosmic curriculum, in Guy Finley's words. He goes on to say, the purpose, the only purpose of that curriculum, of that teaching, is to educate the mind of the soul to the existence of the intelligence that created the curriculum. All of these teachings are to get us as individuals, as those who are living in the illusion of being a separate individual, to get us to awaken to the fact that we're all part of the one mind, that there is an intelligence, a flow of life, a connecting energy through all of us. Which is the underlying message behind any of the great spiritual teachings that say, as you do these things to the least of your brothers and sisters, you're doing them to me, because we're all created. This work has said over and over and over again. I and my Father are one. I and my Creator are one. I can never be separate from that which created me. I can create. I've been given the power of creation. I can point my mind energy, which in itself is a creative force. I can point it towards certain thoughts that create an experience of me being separate. Separate from the chair, separate from the tree, separate from the my brother or sister walking next to me. And yet, everything is just the flow of life and the flow of energy, and all energy is connected. So the mind, this curriculum, is trying to awaken every mind, every mind that thinks it's in the illusion of separation, every part of the creation. And what can the offspring of creation be but the extension of the creative energy into form, into that which appears as an individual, that which can create, that which can enter into a holy relationship, that which can remember the fullness of the creation itself, while being the particular individual in the field of space and time. So the purpose then of the lineage has never changed. It has indeed gained in power through the practice and through adding to its numbers. Imagine then a field of energy that attracts minds floating by it. As those minds begin to resonate with the message or the word of the Creator, it's being expressed through this energy field, this lineage. As they resonate with that message and that expression through the lineage, they become like unto the field of energy itself. As one of us once said, and is still recorded in your Bible, quote, "Let that mind be in you, which was also in the one we have chosen to call our Lord, the one known as Yeshua ben Joseph, or the Christ." Close quotes. When Paul, the one known as Paul, who wrote those words, he was referring to just this process in which you, under the spell of separation, release the spell and begin to resonate with the mind of Christ. The mind of the Christ, the mind of the office of the one mind. Not an individual person, but a collective consciousness. And you begin to take up your seat within this expanding lineage of light. You are a direct descendant. You are a direct disciple of the creation itself. The next section is titled, "You are a part of something extraordinary. Ultimate transfiguration." The text reads, "Therefore, indeed, beloved friends, understand well the role that you play whenever you are, wherever you are upon this plane. You may be living in a farmhouse with very few neighbors. You might be living in a condominium in New York City. And yet, wherever you are but something extraordinary. You are about that process whereby from the moment the tiny, mad, serious thought of separation was dreamed, you are about the very process through which the Creator is correcting the illusion of separation. There is nothing occurring upon your planet that is not about that. It either expresses separation or it expresses and extends the correction of separation. There is only heaven or the illusion of hell. Therefore, understand that you are an extraordinary being. You, right where you are given opportunities moment to moment to be the truth of who you are, to be conscious of the truth of who you are, and therefore to be the light that lights the world. You are part of an ancient lineage that stretches back to before physical creation began. That strand of light has never been broken or lost. I, as Yeshua ben Joseph, am merely the culmination of the expression of that flow of life, that flow of mind, in the field of space and time. From that moment, it has begun to spread out and to seep into more and more, more and more minds. As the sonship, as the offspring of creation are awakened to the resonance with the field of energy that is Christ mind. You are in the process of ultimate transfiguration. You are part of an ancient lineage, but with one purpose. That is the complete transfiguration of human consciousness into being the literal field of Christ mind, extending creation, extending love, extending surrender, allowance, trust, compassion, extending it throughout the physical dimension. There are many extraordinary things ahead for humanity. There are many extraordinary things ahead for you. No matter how deeply you've stepped into this journey, no matter how many transfigurative experiences you've had, all the false melts away, and the reality of Abba is birthed in the mind made by the Creator, as there is always more. There is always more. You are part of the one infinite mind. If you begin learning the truth about yourself, you will never finish learning the truth about yourself. Goes on and says, for the Father never ceases in extending himself into the forms of his creation. Never ceasing. Always extending. That which the soul is, even beyond the lifespan of the body, can never die, nor will it ever be completed. For creation is an infinite process of extending the good, the holy, and the beautiful. Understand well, then, that you are not an ordinary person. You no longer walk this planet sound asleep. You may have thought, saying, quote, I'm still not there. I still don't quite get this way of knowing business. It takes my breath away to hear that there is only creation and that I am that. Close quotes. Well, if that's the case, then let it take your breath away. Enjoy the experience, knowing that that is precisely the most perfect thing that can be occurring in the process of transfiguration that you are in the middle of, that you are undergoing. This is part of what our mind, our Western mind, our conscious logical mind has the most difficulty with. Being in the moment and allowing it to be what it is. Being in the moment and catching the programmed tendency to judge, instantaneously judge. In the way of mastery and in the darshans and the Q&As, it's talked about at different times. It talked about as you're in the moment in life and life is unfolding around you, there is an instant before your thought kicks in. There is a moment. There is a fragment of a moment before your thought kicks in. And one of the things we're invited to do is just notice that moment before we have a word for something, before we've judged it as good, bad, or right or wrong, before we recognize something as something we've seen before or something we've seen that's like something we've seen before. In the moments of life, before thought takes over, there is a spaciousness. There is an openness. There is a richness of experience that gets squashed as soon as we label, as soon as we judge, as soon as we say, oh, I recognize that. That's just like this. And now we're pulling up images and memories from the past, and we're trying to make the present moment experience fit our past. In a very real way, this can be described as living in the past. There's an ancient Irish saying that says, the thing about the past is, it's not the past. And I believe what they're talking about there is the wisdom that comes from the Way of Mastery, where it says, in the moment where you have a thought about the past, you're making that alive for you right now. You're not having this thought in the past. You're right here in this moment having that thought. And the impact of it, the emotions you generate with it, the pleasure or the upset, the recognition or the tension, the judgment, is alive in the moment. So we're being invited to observe our lives differently, to recognize how much the conditioning of thought, the conditioning of family, the conditioning of culture has had us exclude our intuition, our insight, our gut knowing, our connection to a higher realm of wisdom, and rely almost exclusively on our five senses and our intellect and our experiences of the past. And this work is inviting us to step out of that into the present moment and asking to be shown and recognizing the moment for its own existence before we throw judgment and thought on it. And once we start to catch the moment before thought intrudes, then we can start to expand that, hold on to it for just a millisecond longer. Maybe get a whole breath or two in before my thought jumps in to judge the moment, the thing, the person in front of me. In those breaths, in those moments, introduce allowance, surrender, trust, loyalty, embracing, just to be wide open in that moment. Trust in all these ancient spiritual teachings that say your true nature can't ever be chipped, dented, rusted, faded, or broken in any way. Nothing of value can be taken from you. Nothing of value can be added unto you. You are whole and complete. You remain as you were created to be. The truth that is true always remains forever true. You and your Creator are infinitely, intimately connected. If you, if I, if we can rest in that awareness in the moment, before judgment, before thought, before criticism, before constriction and contraction occurs, we will rest in the miracle of life. We'll rest in what they call, in some of these teachings, the kingdom. Sometimes they just call it the kingdom. Sometimes they call it the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes they call it the present moment, the gift of the present moment. So, this is what we're offering. An invitation to live your life differently. An invitation to understand that everything you've been taught, everything you can think of, will only always and forever bring more division and more upset. And only learning to experience your life in an entirely new way that does not rely exclusively on your five senses, only stepping into this ephemeral realm, this less physical realm, opening to energies, opening to intuitive nudges, opening to be taught by the moment, opening to the experience of life before thought barges in. Only that has the potential to help you see and experience your life differently moment to moment. If you continue to think the way you've always thought, you'll continue to experience life the way you've always experienced it. So we have a few minutes for a comment, a question, a clarification, a testimonial. 563-999-3581. If you choose to call that number, please press 1 on the phone. It'll put the icon of a hand in front of your phone number, and I'll announce you by your area code. I'll remind us all that we will have a support group again on Thursday night, but we will not have support groups next week. We had a support group last night, and we had somebody work through a powerful worksheet. And we had discussions about the worksheet process. And again, I reviewed that, barring technical difficulties, I will have 5 shows next week to play repeat shows of times I have been working through on the internet show, either live working through a worksheet or reviewing the worksheets I've done between sessions or between the recording sessions. And if for whatever reason you're somebody who's been with us for a lot of years and you've got a favorite show or a favorite theme that you would like to have us use as a best of when we can't be here live, please send me an email, tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, and let me know about that theme or that show or that date when the show aired. Area code 541, you're in the air.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Tim, or good afternoon.
Hello.
How are you? Yes,
I'm doing well. Belinda, how are you?
Good, good. I just wanted to share with you that as you read today, and it was talking about the thread, it reminds me of a story in Ezekiel, or actually a vision that Ezekiel had about the cloak of God coming out of the throne that Neil Douglas Klotz mentioned in his original prayer, that the cloak, as the threads of the cloak got farther and farther away from the throne, they got farther and farther apart, and pretty soon the threads themselves forgot their connection as a cloak to Creator. And it's a delightful story in Ezekiel. I don't have the exact reference, but I'm looking for it, and so I can share it when I get it. It's just delightful, and it really interfaces with what the Way of Mastery was saying in this lesson.
Yep, I think it's just another wonderful way to visualize how we're all the same, and we're drifting apart in our perceptions of that. So I thank you for that input. I will mute you so you can listen to the second hour. I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, the energy of creation expressing in form, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Appreciate you.
You're very welcome and deserving. Have a great show.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Wednesday, December 21st, 2022, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us, and we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. And I invite you to go to the website, which is whyagain, whyagain.org. And if you click on shop, our new shop is now complete. You have several options. If you just kind of hover over shop, you'll see that you can actually start shopping. If you've already got something in your cart, then it would still be there, and you can go check out. And then my account. And I'm not sure how well that my account's going to work yet, but you can set up an account so that it will keep track of, like, any orders or whatever order history for you. Anyway, it's a brand-new shopping site. We're using something totally different to make it work. And so, like, for instance, if you were going to click on Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, then you have options that you can click from the drop-down. It says format, so it says pick which one and choose an option, and you can choose whether you want a video. And right now we're offering the free streaming with the videos. You can order just the streaming, audio or video. You can order an audio CD with the streaming and a video collection and a streaming collection. So those are going to be new. We don't have those set up yet, but it will be a collection of workshops that go together, like maybe for relationships, that it would be Why Is This Happening to Me Again and Healing Through Relationship on Creating Consciously. It would be a series of the workshops that go together. So we've put that in there. We haven't got that set up yet, but the rest of the cart is working. And so we're offering, you know, we have a super sale going on right now. It's part of Heartland Fundraiser. And so it's 25% off on all CDs and DVDs, and you get free the streaming link for whatever DVD or CD that you purchased. That in itself is a $20 value. 25% off is $10 off of a CD or DVD. And then flat rate shipping, $5, regardless of whether you order one or 10 or however many. And you use the coupon code Heartland. And so that coupon is out there now. If you click on shop, that'll pop up on every page. And we've also put information out there. If you click on the menu button that says Heartland, the first thing under it says Heartland Maintenance Fundraiser. And you can check that out and see what we're doing. And so we finally got that completed. Thank you for being with us as we did a pre-recording yesterday. And that was actually one of the great ones from all time, and that was Magda, where she did a Hydra. Gosh, that was back. I'm not even off the top of my head. I think that was probably 2014 that Magda did that Hydra worksheet, and that was an awesome show. So that was the pre-recording for yesterday. Michael and I both had dental appointments at the time that was going to run right into the show. And so we are glad to be back, and if you have a question or a comment, please press 1. It puts a hand up, and I know you want to talk. So at this time, I am going to welcome Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're here with us once again today as we head into winter. We've been going down into the chilly 20s at night, and tomorrow's supposed to be, I think, the lows around 30. And then we're going down to 3 degrees, 8 degrees, 10 degrees, getting cold. So wishing warmth and safety on everyone. And beyond that, Ms. Jeanine, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anybody in the chat room with a thought for us?
No, it is all quiet.
Awesome. Then, of course, our conversation that has been ongoing for the last 11 years is about this internal process that if one is in some sort of pain or fear or hostility that has been aroused by something in their life, something in their world, that there's a solution to that dilemma, and that is that one can go into the deeper parts of their own structure and remove what never belonged there. The process is called forgiveness. So to be able to directly access, embrace, and hold in love any form of destructive energy, any form of disintegrative energy, allows one to transform and remove those energies from their internal structure. And this is, you know, what is called true Aramaic forgiveness. And of course, in order for it to for real forgiveness to occur, one of the steps is that one has to be practiced in the state of bringing love present. And if one is not, then engaging the process tends to move one in the direction of being able to live there. It's a self-initiated process of going inside, a tool for examination and removal of misperceptions that have caused pain, suffering, anger, fear, grief, whatever is going on within the structure. Of course, the average person, when they're in those states, rather than thinking about going inside of themselves and dealing with what's there, live in a world where they externalize the source of everything within them. They live in a state we call denial, which is a thought where one holds that something outside of them is the cause of what's happening inside of them. And once one lives in that state of denial, what happens is the mind follows directions and hides from you what you don't want to deal with. And in that state of denial, one has to dissociate, one has to remove from awareness something within themselves and creates this artificial condition called an unconscious mind. And what we're looking to do with this work is to give people the tools with which to open the unconscious aspects of their own minds and bring themselves into a healing space. So that's where we're heading with this work. And the idea here is to make the tool of forgiveness reasonable, logical, and give one a way to access parts of themselves that otherwise are simply not for the average person accessible. Almost everyone talks about a conversation outside of themselves, and they replace the factual world with the conversation that's going on inside of themselves. I was talking to a gentleman yesterday, a homeless man that I met yesterday, and the variety of conversations were really quite interesting and quite shocking. Man was probably about 50, and one of the stories that he told me, and for him, this was an actuality. This was just the way it was. And, you know, as I probed and questioned, he, you know, shared with me where this came from as a kid. And he was told that slavery happened in America not because slaves were brought over from Africa, but because those who, you know, brought over from Scotland or Ireland, you know, it was a point where the Irish sold for less money than a black person in the slave market in early America. Pretty bizarre when you think about it. But he was told that in particular, the enslavement of the black population in America was because of the behavior of the black population, that, you know, they were just here and all of a sudden, you know, because of their behavior, white men enslaved them. And this man actually believed that this was, I mean, that was for him a fact. And it's just interesting how many people have what they call facts in their minds that bear no relationship whatsoever to the actuality of what's going on in the world, to the truth of what's going on in the world. So in this work, we distinguish between reality and actuality. And reality is the perceptual output, the perceptual constructs of mind at any given moment. And one can literally substitute any reality that they want for the actuality, what's actually occurring in that given moment. A good example is a state of hypnosis. You know, if someone goes onto the stage and the hypnotist puts them into a receptive state, and basically hypnosis is simply the uncritical acceptance of an idea, and the hypnotist can have the mind of the person who's experiencing that state of hypnosis produce virtually any reality that they're told to. And the mind substitutes what it's been told to believe for what's actually true. You know, the classic example is here's a guy who's on a stage, and, you know, in a normal state, a person who's on a stage with their perceptual apparatus and the input for their minds, the eye, light energy bounces off of the stage, feeds information about the platform they're standing on, and according to the brain cells in the person who's experiencing that, their brain will build a picture of a stage, and that's where they'll believe they are. But with the hypnotist, that same person standing on the same stage can be told to look down and told that they're standing on the deck of a ship. And what the mind of the person in the hypnosis will do is it will ignore the input from the light energy that produces a picture called stage. It will block that, and it will replace it with a construct of the mind according to what the hypnotism in. So if they're told they're standing on the deck of a ship, this person will, the brain will generate an image that that's where they're standing. And if they're handed a broomstick and told that it's a fishing pole and they've got a sailfish on the other end, they'll literally look at the fishing pole. Now, normally, of course, the eye would bring light energy that's bouncing off of the broomstick into the eye and would say, ah, broom. But if you interfere with that pathway and you put a different set of information in, that person can look at the broomstick and the brain will develop a construct according to what has been told by the hypnotist. Now you're holding a fishing pole, and this person will see a fishing pole. Well, if we live in a world where, let's say, for instance, we were brought up with a family system and a culture that lives in the one world religion of blame, and we were told that whenever there's something, or it was modeled for us, that whenever there was something pain inside of us, it was always caused by someone else, then hypnotized by that mind energy, hypnotized by that idea, one's brain will hallucinate, will build a picture, just like the fellow who's standing on the stage looking at the deck of a ship. This person will, whose person's mind will build a picture of how somebody else is the problem in their lives. And what we're looking to do with these tools is to collapse the mind's fraud and lies so that there's a space for the actuality of the moment become the source of the understanding of the world. And so by collapsing the perceptual constructs of the mind, the output of the mind, there's space for actuality to show up. And when one recognizes that, of course, one of the things one would likely look for is, well, how do I tell if my mind's telling me the truth or not? Well, if your mind's telling you the truth, then there's going to be an active state of love within your structure, within your awareness. If hostility or fear is moving in you, then you know that your mind is using corrupt data, and it's not telling you the truth about the actuality of the moment. So what we're doing with this work is working to give people the tools with which they can recognize when their mind's lying to them. You know, the guy who's standing on the stage, his mind's obviously lying to him when he says, oh, look at me, standing on the deck of a ship with a fishing pole and pulling in a big fish. His mind's obviously lying to him. Anytime one is in hostility or fear, our offering is that your mind's lying to you. And there is a more productive state of perception available to you if you remove the mind's lies and you live in something closer to the actuality of the moment. So that's kind of a synopsis. And where we're going with this work, and of course, if you're out there in listener land and you go, well, wait a minute, what about, how does that work? Well, let's talk about it. Does that make sense? Can we support you in that? What forgiveness does is it opens the space for love to come into expression within physiology and to access the underlying dynamics of hostility or fear. And when the two meet, there's a transmutation, there's a change of energy within the mind. So what tends to happen is one comes into deeper states of peacefulness, trust, and functioning out of choice. So that's what we're here to do. And, of course, the world's understanding of forgiveness is about how, well, if there's something painful moving in me, it must be somebody else's problem, somebody else's fault. And there's where people tend to live in blame and generate hallucinogenic images of how something else is the cause of what's happening inside of them. So it's kind of like, you know, going into the exercise room. You know, if you want to strengthen the muscles of your body, you go into the gym. If you want to clean up the perceptual constructs of your mind, you go into the mental gym, and the mental gym is forgiveness. And so, Machine, do we have any questions from the app or anybody with a question for us from the chat room?
I was opening up my second email here. There was a question from someone who had placed an order. Let me find it. Well, my computer had crashed just before I came back up the stairs, and I had to start everything all over again.
Oh.
So, hold on a second here. Go ahead and talk. I'll look for it.
Okay. So I had gotten a question from Michael the other day, and let's see, I'm just seeing if I can locate it here.
Okay, while you're looking for that, I found this. And they had kind of asked a double question. I answered one earlier, but they wanted to know if they could return to the site to find their purchases. And there is, under the new shop, the ability to create an account that should keep your history, and then you'd be able to go back and look at that. But you do get an email with a synopsis of your order and how much you paid and everything. And then they had a second question. Will you have any in-person seminars now that COVID-19 is no longer a threat?
Well, unfortunately, we're not at the point where COVID is not a threat. If you look at what's going on in the culture, there still seems to be a fair bit of infection and challenge going on in that regard. So at this point, we don't have plans for an in-person intensive in the near future. We have been talking about doing another Zoom intensive. It's not something that's in the works at this point, no. Unfortunately. So the question I'd gotten from Michael, he was asking about a greeting that I had sent. I had broken the word Christmas down into two parts, Christ Mass. You know, we see a lot of people who are out there, you know, and it's now Xmas, like getting rid of anything to do with a higher understanding of life. And if you look at this idea of Christmas as celebration of the awakening of a higher set of faculties within a human being as symbolized by the man Yeshua and moving into what was called the mind that he represented, which as opposed to carbon-based memory, the mind of man, was called the Christ mind. And so my objective in doing that greeting was to put the emphasis on that word Christ, which actually in Aramaic literally means the buttered one, the anointed one. You know, if someone had awakened spiritually, they anointed them with oils, butter, basically. And so That's what that word means in Aramaic. And so the focal point and the objective of this work is to bring each person into relationship with the highest mind possible within them, which is the mind that the man Yeshua expressed in the world. And, you know, people talk about, or the Greeks put forward this idea, and a word is mistranslated as the only begotten offspring of love in essence. And in Aramaic, it doesn't say the only begotten, but the first begotten, and that each of us has the right as human beings to enter into that state. And of course, it takes a virgin birth for that to happen. Well, what does that mean? You know, now are we talking about genitals? No, actually not so, but rather that one only steps into a state of functioning out of the truth of who they are as love. And this is, you know, we're coming into a season where many minds are focused in a direction of devotion toward love. And so it can be a place to take, to make best use of the energies that are moving around the planet to support moving into higher and higher states, doing deeper and deeper levels of work to free oneself from the errors of carbon-based memory, the hostilities and fears of life. And having done that, then the feminine aspect of the human, which would be what we would call carbon-based memory or the so-called body, that being purified, cleansed of hostility and fear, we get to move into the immaculate conception, that we get to conceive of life, we get to conceive of ourselves from a space where no hostility or fear is injected into the process of perception, and we see conceive ourselves purely and truly as we are. And once we do that, then one begins to function more and more out of the mind of love in them rather than out of the generational mind of whatever kinds of hostilities and fears one has experienced. So, Michael, I hope that addresses your concern. I think you were saying you weren't going to be on the show today, but went ahead and put some thoughts out about that. And then when you get a chance to get back on the show, we can continue with that conversation. You got a thought for it,
Michael? He had, besides asking about Christmas, we had also said instead happy holy holidays, we said holy dash days. So he asked
right.
about that one as well.
Well, again, there's a great song by a fellow named Peter Myers, and the song is Everything is Holy Now. And it's really a cool tune. If you look it up, you can watch it on YouTube or Spotify or whatever. And he talks about being a kid in church and how, you know, they talked about holiness, but, you know, it kind of had to do with holy water. And, you know, he wasn't sure what it was all about. In the song now, he talks about how he's, in essence, swimming in a world of love, swimming in the space of holiness. And so everything, as he found himself connected to love, everything became holy. And so I'd like to put the focus on holy days instead of holidays, because holidays tend to mean, oh, time to go eat excessively and get drunk, which is a pretty bizarre thing to do when holy days are designed to be set aside for a purpose higher than, you know, going out and stuffing yourself with food and drinking to excess. So that's the objective that I have in using the word holy dash day, that this is a day for each person to practice, to set up a state where they are living out of the purity, the virginal state, as it were, having done the work of forgiveness, freeing themselves of hostility or fear, that they can literally be born into or come into expression in this world through their own body-mind unit and truly reflect as they are, rather than stir up reflections of generational patterns which have perhaps different kinds of unresolved hostility and fear. So coming back to a state of being. And, you know, to me, each holy day is about, you know, setting aside time to move into that state of love and be in that practice with family, giving gifts. It's about being in that space of love with each other. And, you know, some people are totally focused on, oh, let's get this paper wrapped off and see what we got. And it's about getting stuff as opposed to sharing that space of love and offering symbols of that love to each other through what we call gifts. So that's kind of why I use that as a greeting. And a secondary reason for that idea of holy days is I don't always know who I'm talking to. So, you know, I might be giving a greeting to someone who's Jewish, who's not celebrating Christmas as some people are. And so, or I might be speaking to a Muslim who has a different set of beliefs, or any one of a number of different Native American, you know, traditions, what have you. And so, each culture has its own days that are set aside for that higher purpose. And so my greeting is meant to be more universal to everyone, whatever their form of celebrating their wholeness is. So that's a little bit about what's going on for me in that regard, Michael. And hopefully you'll get a chance to listen to this, if seeing as how you're not on the show today. And then if there are any other refinements, we'll have another topic to chat about when you get back to us. One of the things I really appreciate about Michael is that he's been on a pretty significant journey for a long time, and his questions, like Susan's, are usually very meaningful and, what should I say, really open a space for everybody in the community to advance their thinking in so many areas, including myself. So it's the beauty of getting questions on this show is that arenas that perhaps I've never thought about applying the tools open up when someone comes along and says, well, what about? And how do we take these tools into an arena that, you know, perhaps I've never thought of before? And so the gift of giving questions is awesome, and we appreciate it if you have thoughts. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, my question, I don't know that much about this. I don't know if I have a good question. Any and every question is a good question because it opens a space for exploration where I or many others who are listening to the show perhaps have never thought of going. And when we go there, it sometimes opens new levels of insight. It sometimes gives us the opportunity to do new levels of our own personal work. And so the gift of community is there's such a wide variety of support from the different people that show up and such a wide variety of inquiry from people who show up who've got a totally, completely different background, totally, completely different experience from mine. And when the question comes from that other perspective, it's like, wow, never thought of that. Let me see. What do we do with bringing these tools into that arena? So that's why we appreciate every question that that people show up with. And, of course, it definitely makes things easier to move forward when we're doing things in an interactive and meaningful way, because as we interact, we get to find out, you know, we're all really the same. We've all been through the same stuff. And the tools are understood in different ways as we hear how different people are applying the tools or thinking about the tools. So that's the power and the beauty of community. And we are here to develop a community based in these tools and to provide the best understanding that we can for bringing this work into one's life.
Throw out there, if you're wondering where that question about the holiness, happy holy days, and Merry Christmas, he read that in the newsletter that we had sent out. So if you haven't received our newsletter, if you're not on our mailing list, I put a link in today's notes, but you can go to the website and click on news and then newsletters, or you can just type in the search bar newsletter. And it'll pop up. There is a link to every newsletter we have sent out. We started back in 2016 doing newsletters electronically, and we don't even get one out a month usually, so it's not like we bombard your email So if you're not on their mailing list and you would like to be, you can scroll to the bottom of any page on their website, and there's a big glowing heart, and it says join our mailing list. And just click it and enter your email information and your name, and then you will start getting them. But if you haven't gotten them, you can pick up all of the past ones on that one page. And we hope that you put the tools to work. Yeah. And since we did the two videos on there, actually, if you click on start here, the first two things that pops up now is two videos. One of them will help you navigate the website, and the other one will help you navigate the app. And since we put those out there, it seems like there's been more and more people using the app. So we're glad that that has been beneficial for you.
It's a great video.
And so we have 28 minutes. Somebody ask a question.
Well, two thoughts I have are one, and you may have it the very first of the show, to get to the video on how to use the app, people just go to our website, whyagain.org, and in the upper left-hand corner is a link that says Start Here. Click that, and Jeannie's done a really nice video that outlines the app and how to use it, how to download it, and also a video on how to use the website. You know, the website is growing daily. I don't even know if we've got a count of how many pages or if we have a way to count how many pages, but something over 20,000 pages. And so.
And Susan and I just added about 29 or 30 pages just over the weekend.
Yay. Growth for sure. So if you're out there in listener land and you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, our call-in number is 563-999-3581. 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you're listening to the show directly on your phone. And then if you have a question, if you hit one, that puts a hand up in the phone queue, and Jeannie will know you want to talk to us. So if you're out there with a thought or question, some way we can support you. You know, holiday season is oftentimes a difficult season because people that, you know, I hear this fairly often. Well, I don't normally see this person or that person from my family or the old neighborhood or what have you, but oftentimes coming together at holiday time, holy day time, what should be a holy day becomes a traumatic day because of the unresolved dynamics that people take into family dinners, family gatherings. And it might be, you know, energetic dynamics that go back into childhood or maybe literally genetic, you know, things that are that reoccur in family systems because of unresolved genetic trauma. And so these tools work to open the space to touch every level of one's mind and clean it out. The gentleman I was talking to yesterday, actually saw him again this morning, went over. He's living not far from where we are, outdoors. We took a blanket to him last night and a coat and some food. In any event, it was interesting to observe that, I mean, he's probably about 50 and seems like just a really nice guy. But when you touch into any kind of conversations, it's like you could almost watch his mind. At one point, we were talking about how he'd gotten to where he was at, and I asked, and he was quite aware and acknowledged it as negativity. He'd had two brothers, one that died from alcohol and one that died from drugs, and he didn't use either. I mean, I've seen him now about four different times, just happened to meet him at the post office. He actually lives behind our post office locally here. And so, you know, had a talk with him a couple of weeks ago, and just, you know, I was actually going over to, there are a couple of stores attached to the post office that have, you know, that sell products. And I was actually going over there to get some cardboard for our garden. And I was, you know, that's how I ran into him again just the other day. But it was interesting to watch as I brought a topic up, and this is how we got on to the idea of slavery. As I brought a topic up, he would go into, it was like there was so much catastrophe in his life. He would just go into a conversation about something catastrophic. And it's interesting. I think that catastrophic thinking, you know, turning to negativity, to avoidance of anything new, to avoidance of change, everything has to remain the same, really is a major issue in a lot of people's lives. And it was clear that if we triggered a particular conversation, if I asked him particular questions, his mind would go into, you know, the catastrophes that could happen. And for me, it was clear that, you know, this probably was not just his own issue, from what he had said of his childhood, which, you know, was a fairly abusive father with a mother who would just watch the kids being physically, verbally, and emotionally abused, that this was an habit pattern from generations and generations to just move into this place of fear and catastrophe, and then projecting that, I don't even know if this is a word, catastrophizing on whoever's object of attention was at the moment. And I guess that tends to lead one into, you know, fairly easily separating from those around oneself on whom they've projected the catastrophic thinking. And recognize that when we live in denial of the catastrophic thinking that we tend to go into, and that would be that, you know, new situations or old repeating situations that bring up different types of fear or negativity, that when we want to make that about something outside of us rather than recognizing that it's a habit of our own minds, that we drive that energetic pattern literally into our tissue structure. And what we drive into our tissue structure ends up being pushed into our perceptual world and into the directives that we give the world, the things that we set up in the world. And many people think that it's events that cause them to feel a certain way rather than thoughts that construct events in a certain way. And so if one tends to be in catastrophic thinking and you know, their response to life is consistently, you know, a put down, a negativity, a trauma, a problem, even on the subtlest levels, if they can wake up and become aware of that, we ended up doing some processing work, and he had sort of, you know, I had met him. He obviously, you know, we just kind of connected eyes in the parking lot over by the post office, and the first time I met him, which was a couple of weeks ago, and it was clear that he wasn't having a good time, and so I offered him a little bit of money. And, you know, he didn't have money to eat. And then, you know, I accidentally ran into him again as I was over there looking for cardboard. And to just observe how he turned everything into a personal problem, a personal challenge, and a personal reason to complain about everybody and everything. And as, you know, I offered support, actually, you know, we're starting to get down into cold weather. We were trying to find a way. He said he wanted to head south, but he didn't have a bus ticket. And, you know, I came home last night, and Gene and I spent about, I don't know how long was it, close to an hour, maybe a little better than an hour. Gene's, you know, good at looking things up on the internet. So she's looking at bus schedules, and, you know, we said, okay, we'll get you a ticket and get you to the bus station to get you out of here. His temperatures are dropping severely. And it was like every arena, he had a way to put a block in the conversation about that and go into a catastrophe about it. That was the from what he shared of his childhood thinking was the generational pattern of his bloodline. We didn't get very far into a conversation about forgiveness, although I did offer that thought to him. And but just to watch how the mind, even in situations that were positive and uplifting, could in an instant turn it into a catastrophe.
I kind of got the impression it was like, it, you know, we were offering him a way out of his current homelessness, or at least get him into a warmer space, and yet then he wouldn't be a victim. And so it's almost like he can't accept the help that's being offered because then he can't be a victim. Or I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there was definitely some of that catastrophic thinking, and I could certainly hear his dilemma, and to the degree that he was willing to interact with it and look at it, offer him support in doing something different in his world. So we'll see what happens. I'm actually supposed to see him a little later this afternoon or hear from him. So we'll see what occurs. But, and if everybody would just join us in holding the space for him, it's I just can't imagine living in the world that he lives at this point. So his name, if you want to just tap into his energy, is Randy. And so if you would just send him a little love and support, and we'll see what we can do for him. And we've got about 20 minutes, so if you're out there in listener land, let's have a conversation about it. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number, push 1. We'll be having a conversation. And I would love to have a conversation with you. I'd love to hear from somebody and, you know, what's happening in your world. How can we support you? What can we share with you about these tools?
And Michael T. has joined us. We do have two hands that just went up. But I just wanted to say,
cool.
Michael, if you re-listen to this show, I don't think you were on at the beginning when Michael addressed your questions about why we use the terms Christmas and Holy Days. So that's at the beginning of this show. We do have two hands up. The first one is area code 904. You're on the air.
Well, Melly Plikamakis, everybody.
Hey, welcome, young man. How are you, Dusty?
Well, I am doing well today. And I just, golly, I have a question for you, but I wanted to say that I have gotten so much. I've gotten some significant enrichment from this program, and nothing else other than you and Jeannie's dedication, et cetera, is the way that a language like Aramaic, and I find the same thing in some Sanskrit, bring through a concept that I couldn't ordinarily do in English, especially the Greek translation. And I really appreciate
right.
that a lot. Also, what you were saying about the Xmas and Christmas.
Right.
I'm a sloppy handwriter, and I just scribble as fast as I can go, and I do shortcuts of my own kind all along. But when it comes to Christmas, I will not let myself do an X instead of the Christ.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, because that's the name of the game on that one. And, oh, gosh, there was a bunch of things that so anyways, here's my question I love it that forgiveness, as as it's brought forth through what you're doing there, is a kind of a guilt-free, just remove it sort of thing. But
yeah.
I may have missed something all the way along the line, Michael, but it's, is there a word that like ho'oponopono, the process of forgiveness, is there a word in Aramaic for what you're talking about?
Well, the word that the Greeks have translated as forgiveness is the word shabag or shabak, and it literally translates to cancel. And
You
know, until one understands that, you know, perception is driven by goals, that canceling of a perfectly good goal doesn't make any sense. And I know that, you know, in the early world's days of teaching this work, I taught the process because it worked, but I didn't know why and how it worked. but now I realize it ties in. You know, when we came across that research from Harvard that showed that in a time frame where they could measure 10,000 units of electrical activity in the brain, but only 9 bits of data moved into the perceptual arena. You know, it was like it was a reducing valve narrowed down to just this 9-bit structure in the mind, and that the of course if there are 10,000 brain cells firing and the end result of only 9 of them are going to become to awareness, something has to be selecting which 9 bits are going to be used by the mind to build its construct, literally to build the world that we see, the visual and the perceptual output of the mind. And so when one recognizes the driver for that is our goals, then, and the objective is if we're in a state of pained perception, there are energetic dynamics beneath the surface of that pain projection that we need to access, then taking a perfectly wonderful goal like, you know, I'm really angry with Bill because he didn't take care of the promise he made me. Well, no, actually, I'm really angry because I have anger in me, and I can put it into my brain's image of Bill. If I load a goal that ties into anger, I can put it into my brain's image of, you know, Hortense or Dusty or anybody else. And so, you know, coming to the point of recognizing that, oh, so I take this wonderful goal. Gee, I just wanted Bill to be loving with me, and I cancel it. Not because I don't want Bill to be loving with me, but I realized that when I loaded that goal into my mind, there's something in the file, so to speak, in my mind on love that's based in some form of hostility or fear that distorts my perception. And that I can collapse that distorted perception and drop into the dynamic of what's hiding underneath it to clean it up. Now, all of a sudden, canceling a goal is like the most logical, to me now, the most logical, obvious thing that there is in any given situation, because it allows me to touch into or drop into deeper parts of my own mind. I taught this process for years without understanding that.
It took
recognizing, goals drive perception. If perception is pained, there's something under the surface that's based in pain. If I cancel the goal, I get to access that. Bingo. So that's the word shebag, you know, as in the Ho'oponopono, is what's beneath the surface, how to get to what's beneath the surface. And the word would be shebag, to shebag it.
Okay, great. Well, that's good
the Aramaic word
because,
for forgive. Yeah.
Because I love the process. And while I perhaps mentioned it when I first got on the air, but today being the solstice, today is the real birth of the sun, S-U-N, if you will. And for me, Christmas, I'd like to think that Christmas is every day, but certainly it starts today for me and probably for any pagans anywhere. And it's a beautiful process. Right. And although I did know a couple that lived here on the beach years ago, and everybody they met, they would say Merry Christmas to. I mean, it could be July, June. It was through, you know, all year. It was Merry Christmas. And I love their attitude behind that.
So they're working on birthing that higher state continuously. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah. Yes, and they did a great job, and it certainly stuck with me, the beauty around all that. And, there was something else. But I think that's the main thing, and I just wanted to wish everybody a Melly Klikamakas, just in case you don't hear my voice again till Christmas, and perhaps won't. And thank you for what you're bringing through there. There's the idea of love. Oh, I love that. And by the way, Dr. Tim used a phrase, and of course it's one of those things that you would say all the time, but maybe not get. And just for a moment, I got a bit of it, and it was the gift of the moment. The gift of the moment. every moment's a gift, right?
Absolutely. You know, to get
right.
to have a human life is pretty awesome.
My goodness. And I can be in any kind of, almost any kind of distress. And if I could just come to now, moment, take a breath or whatever and just be here now, all of a sudden it's a whole other world in a certain way.
Perception, the constructs of the mind shifts.
Yeah, man. So anyways, I know we're getting near the end of your show, but again, once more, blessings to everybody. And I know there was something I wanted to say that I forgot, but that's okay. That
well,
happens
it comes
all
up,
the
we
time.
Can do it. Sweet.
Yeah, man. So,
awesome, my friend.
So be well, okay?
It's in the plan. Thank you. Lots of love and blessings.
Okay, take care.
Okay, take
Thank
care.
You.
Bye-bye.
Okay, our next caller, I believe,
awesome
is Belinda.
Have an awesome Christmas and the best year yet of your eternal life. Go for it.
541,
Miss you're Belinda.
On
here. Welcome, young lady.
Welcome, and how are you today?
We're rocking along,
I should know
doing
you're
well.
You're living the beautiful life, right?
Well, you know, when it gets to the point where it's not so beautiful, we do something about it.
There you go. We shift from hell into heaven, right?
That's the objective.
Heaven on earth. One foot in heaven and one foot on earth, as the Buddhists say. I love it.
Bring that state of love into the world is important, I think.
Yes, it is. And that's what I've decided. I'm going to be a buffoon for Christ, the Christ.
There
God.
You go. Hey, go for
as
it.
As I said in my poem, encouraging my child to become the conduit for the love that it is to express out in the world. So anyway, dear hearts, see how I have picked up your languaging for these 3 years? I'm running around the whole community saying, dear
Let's
heart.
Let's go for it.
And if they if they look at me funny, I say, hey, age has license, folks.
There you go. There you go. You mean as you're getting younger and younger, you can say more and more of what you want to say?
Yeah, I can say sweetie and dear heart and sweetheart and all of these stuff, and these young men and these young women look at me like, what planet did you step off on? And I say, hey, it's about love. That's the one thing I can be so grateful for COVID for, because I got out of being right and into being love, and it's made the biggest difference within my own life. And it seems to be that I am making a difference in other people's lives. So, hey, we'll never know, Michael and Jeannie.
You never know how far the ripples are going to go.
That's right. I wanted to share with you a piece of information. I don't know if it's true or not, that I received in my research as a born-again Christian, you know, when I believed that Yeshua was God on the cross. From a more limited perspective of now I see all that. And, excuse me, I wanted to share with you that when I was doing Christian research and studies and stuff, that I had read that the Christmas, the Xmas, was actually a secretive word for Christ. The X was a secret word for Christ, and like the fish was a symbol that the early Christians used when they were being persecuted, and that they would like draw a fish in the sand, and they would use the letter X for Christ. And I'm not sure, but is the letter X the Greek letter X for the kr sound? I'm not sure. I don't know that. But anyway, I just wanted to share that possibility. I don't use it myself, as a general rule, because I prefer to write out Christmas or Christmas, as you call it,
right,
which I am particularly fond of honoring the Christ in all of us and honoring what Yeshua decided to do in order to recognize fully, wholly within himself the Christ. And so I just wanted to share that with you. And I also, and I don't know if you wanted to say anything about that, so let me take a breath.
Well, one thought that comes to mind is it reminds me of the Hindu greeting, which is namaste. And namaste is a written form and a verbal form, namaste, namaskar. And it, as I understand it, quite literally translates, the Christ in me greets the Christ in you and acknowledges this place where we are one. So an acknowledgement of the unity of life and the connectedness of life. So it ties right in with that that greeting, namaste.
Right, and I like what you added when you said the namaskar, because I had not run into that in my limited exposure to the Hindu religion. However, I wanted to share with you, I think I might have mentioned to you and Jeannie before, that I actually start turning my thoughts inward from the beginning day, the first day of Advent. And I don't finish celebrating that those holy days until January 6th, or Epiphany. And I got to thinking about how that is a wonderful bridge between East and West, because Epiphany is the celebration of Christmas in Eastern Europe, and the which is more Eastern.
That's the Orthodox.
Right, Orthodox. Right. And so I was just listening to Dr. Tim today, and I had shared with him that in the Way of Mastery, chapter 34, that he was reading about the threads, that he said, or that I said to him, there is a vision of Ezekiel's where he is talking about where he is seeing the God on God's throne, and God is wearing this beautiful multicolored cloak, and the cloak itself just spreads out over creation. And the farther out it goes, the farther apart each individual thread is. And Neil Douglas Klotz, in his original prayer, said that his perception was that that each one of the threads getting farther, farther apart, eventually forgot who they were and what they were connected to. And they forgot that there was another thread right there somewhere on the horizon, and that thread was part of the same oneness that they were. And I'll try to find that reference, that vision, and I will share it with you and Jeannie and Dr. Tim in case it's of value, if you would like, because I thought that's such a beautiful image, metaphor. And when the Way of Mastery was talking about the lineage of Yeshua, or that lineage of which Yeshua is a part, and it seems to me...
You've got about 10 seconds.
Okay. We'll continue this conversation next time.
Okay, young lady, you have a blessed one, and thank you, everybody, for joining us, and create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Bless you.